And welcome into the show right here on the radio, You're the Cure with Dr. Ben Edwards, MD. Of course, check out VeritasMedical.com. Archive programs, other important information to help you regain control of your health. That's what we do at VeritasMedical.com. Let me say good morning once again to Dr. Ben Edwards. Good morning, sir. How are you?
Good morning, Wade. I'm good. How are you?
I'm doing great. Good to, again, we talked about the fact that the Lubbock Wellness Expo was a major success, even though there was a lot of Omicron floating around the city and attendance was a little bit off. It wasn't crazy off, but it was just, you know, people concerned about, hey, I got to stay healthy and I want to go on out there and check it out. But we'll be doing it again next year, hopefully around the same time. So we'll see what that looks like. But we're carrying Morley Robbins over on the show for the next hour on your program, Dr. Edwards.
Yeah, we're happy to have Morley in. I didn't realize he was going to do a preview before my show, so that's good. Hopefully got some of his energy out. He's usually like a thoroughbred in here ready to hit the start
right.
Gate and go.
Hey, come on, that's what it's all about.
But we're excited to talk to Morley about fear. Last week we had Dr. Mark McDonald, child psychiatrist from Los Angeles, on the program in his book, The United States of Fear, and he talked a lot about the mass delusional psychosis and how that came into existence here over the past 2 years. So that was a good perspective. Today, though, we're going to talk about how does that impact you at the cellular level? And I want to say just on a clinical level, and I think we've talked about this before, but I've seen so many patients who were overcome with fear, and yes, they were sick with COVID mm-hmm. or flu or whatever they had. Yes, they had respiratory symptoms. Yes, their oxygen saturation levels were low and their lungs sounded bad. But I can tell you, when we address the fear by talking to them lovingly, calmly, praying over them, and dealing with the fear, their oxygen levels come up. I mean, it's like a guaranteed. I don't have a published study to prove this. I'm just telling you my clinical experience. In fact, there is a published study, though. I don't have it in front of me, but it basically looked at all the factors that put you at risk for hospitalization and death. And, of course, obesity was there, but right behind it, just one percentage point below it, so practically tied, was anxiety and underlying anxiety disorder. And that's a historical generalized anxiety disorder. You throw acute anxiety on top of that, and it's pretty much you're done for. So you have to control the fear. But we're going to talk about some of the physiology behind, you know, what goes on at the cellular level when you go into fear. I got to thinking, Morley, you know, Dr. Peter McCullough is kind of the go-to guru for people to learn some data, some scientific mm-hmm. knowledge.
Right.
And when people hear Dr. McCullough talk, we've had him on the show. He's been on every show, I think, in America and internationally. But there's one thing is people hear data and facts, published study. I mean, all he does is quote data all day long. But it brings a certain measure of calmness to the people listening,
right,
because it's a narrative they haven't heard anywhere else from our health officials, put that in quotes, healthcare officials and government officials and media and all that. So that's good to a degree. That can bring a lot of peace of mind on the COVID side. And I've said this before, I think is on the chronic disease side of things. And the reason you resonated with my thinking when we first met was because you connect the dots on at the cellular level when your cell is in fight or flight mode because
right.
it's under stress for whatever reason. And a lot of times it starts as an emotional stress. But all this chaos from what we're eating, and we're going to talk about this.
Mm-hmm.
You texted me or emailed me this weekend about iron and cholesterol, so hopefully we'll get into that. So anyways, Morley brings, you know, a whole host of scientific knowledge. He can quote from, you know, 10,000 different journal articles over the past 100 years to basically prove this point that this chronic disease epidemic that we're in, that Dr. Fauci should have been spending our billions and trillions of dollars on,
mm-hmm.
and he hasn't. Yeah, I learned something from RFK Jr. 240 prescription drugs have been approved through the FDA from 2009 to 2016. 240 made it through the approval process. Every single one of those came through Fauci's lab.
Oh, my gosh.
And there's patentable products, obviously, there that there's a return of investment on there. man, I don't care so much about that, whatever. I mean, obviously money rules the world, but the fact he's spending that much energy, time, and effort to produce pharmaceutical chemicals that aren't addressing the root issue, and all that while, since he's been in his position as this leading health authority, our health has just continued to decline. Mm-hmm. It's been declining for almost 100 years now with the iron coming in and the processed vegetable oils and the retinol and saturated fat going out. But specifically children, 6% of children had a chronic disease when Tony Fauci started, and now, well, 54% in 2016 data. So now we're probably at 70 or 80%. So anyways, complete disaster. And my main message to people is quit putting all your hope, trust, and faith in Fauci, the government, institutional, anything, mm-hmm. much less pharmaceuticals. So pharmaceuticals are a Band-Aid. They treat symptoms only. And when you treat symptoms only and don't address root causes, the unintended consequences of that are disastrous. We are the sickest country in the world. I'm not going to go through all that because I have before. Last thing I want to say, we'll get to going Morley.
Mm-hmm.
I want to hit a couple of the highlights of my slides from my presentation at the Health Expo. This is a study published in 2005 by John Ioannidis. He's out at Stanford. The title of the study is Why Most Published Research Findings Are False. Quote, there's increasing concern that in modern research, false findings may be the majority or even the vast majority of published research claims. Another study, this is out of Mayo Clinical Proceedings. This is from July 22nd, 2013. The title of the article, A Decade of Reversal, an analysis of 146 contraindicated medical practices. This study looked at what's called standard of care medical practices, 363 different articles looking at standard of care, and 40% of those, 146 of those, reversed what the current standard of care was, but doctors weren't changing their clinical practice.
Mm-hmm.
Charles Burwell, Dean of Harvard Medical School, 1939 to 1945, quote, half of what we are going to teach you is wrong, half of it is right. Our problem is we don't know which half is which. And to this day, I believe it's even worse than that, because there's so much cover-up, deception, smoke and mirrors, publication bias, outright corruption. I mean, we saw that for sure throughout COVID, even in New England Journal and Lancet and Nature. This is Arnold Relman, former editor of the New England Journal of Medicine. Quote, the medical profession is being bought by the pharmaceutical industry, not only in terms of practice of medicine, but also in terms of teaching and research. The academic institutions of this country are allowing themselves to be the paid agents of the pharmaceutical industry. I think it's disgraceful. Arnold Relman, former editor, New England Journal of Medicine. And the last thing I'm going to say is there's a few quotes from doctors who were around back in the day of the Spanish flu and smallpox and some of these other infectious diseases. And really, you have to see these graphs to realize the full impact of the terrain. Vaccines didn't save us. Bottom line, that was the point of my talk Saturday. Vaccines are not our savior. They did not save us. Am I saying never to take one ever, ever? That's a personal decision you make after you get informed consent, after you get all the information, after you understand that 99% of measles mortality and pertussis, whooping cough mortality, went away prior to the vaccine. That will change your thinking, perhaps, influence your thinking. When you realize that tuberculosis mortality dropped 100% pretty much without a vaccine. Same with scarlet fever. When you look at these curves and the mortality rates in 1910 and 1900 of influenza dropping 98-99% prior to a vaccine, scarlet fever without a vaccine, tuberculosis without a vaccine, measles, the vaccine came in late after post 1950, 99% of the infections were gone. So I encourage people to go look up these graphs. Even the Spanish flu, I talked about that. I'm not going to get into that today. I don't want to waste our time. But I want to tell you it had nothing to do with Spain, and it It had nothing to do with the flu. It had to do with experimental meningitis vaccines. The first case of quote-unquote Spanish flu was Fort Riley, Kentucky, mm-hmm. when they were injecting experimental vaccines into these soldiers and continue to do so. Here's Dr. John Tilden, M.D., 1851 to 1940, quote, "There is no question but that perfect sanitation has almost obliterated this disease." Smallpox is what he's talking about. "And sooner or later we'll dispose of it entirely. Of course, when the time comes, in all probability, the credit will be given to vaccination." Dr. John Tilden, M.D. Dr. George Bernard Shaw, 1944, actually not a doctor. Quote, "At present, intelligent people do not have their children vaccinated, nor does the law now compel them to. The result is not, as the Jennerians prophesied," as in Jenner, the vaccinologist, "the extermination of the human race by smallpox. On the contrary, more people are now killed by vaccination than by smallpox." George Bernard Shaw, 1944. And then I really like Dr. Charles Campbell, M.D., talking about the smallpox danger versus vitamin C. It's a long quote I won't go into. I'm going to summarize it. He basically said, "The removal of this perversion of nutrition will so mitigate the virulence of this malady as positively to prevent the pitting of pocking of smallpox." And what he was talking about was getting fruits and vegetables, citrus fruit in particular, vitamin C. He was talking about vitamin C. And I could go on and on. Dr. Charles Creighton, 1889. Dr. Walter Haidwin, M.D., 1925, he says, "I once believed in Jenner. I once believed in Pasteur. I believed in vaccination, but I changed my views as the result of hard thinking." So we're going to do some hard thinking today, which we tend to do every time Morley comes on. Smoke's going out my ears usually when I'm walking out of here. I want to just remind folks, guess what your great-great-grandchildren are going to read about COVID-19 in the year 2020?
Right.
What are they going to read about this great pandemic that swept the world? It depends on who writes the history book. And if Tony Fauci writes the history book versus right. Morley Robbins writing the history book,
yeah.
you're going to get a whole different picture. And so, again, that I tried to pique some people's curiosity. I only had 45 minutes at the expo. Next year I'm going to lobby for a little more.
I'll try to do it in 30.
Oh, yeah. But piquing the curiosity for people to understand that, no, there's this disease thing, there are consequences, whether it's infectious disease as a consequence of not enough vitamin C and retinol, as we'll talk about, and just nutrition in general, mm-hmm. sunshine, clean water, the basics, and lack of fear. But chronic disease, too. All this is new, modern chronic disease. We've talked about it a gazillion times. So don't walk in fear. Understand you have the power to control your circumstances and your terrain in particular. And today's toxic terrain is not the sanitation of the 1900s. We have clean water and toilets and all that kind of stuff.
Yeah.
We have access to food, although it's been totally corrupted, so you have to be more focused and supplement where you're deficient. But it's this internal terrain disrupted by mostly the food. These processed seed oils instead of saturated fat from animals, the saturated fat has retinol. The iron-enriched cereals. Mm. That right there. I'm not even talking sugar. We could camp out just right there. Lack of retinol and too much iron. So, Morley, there you go. There's your setup.
Well, there we go. I think it's important for people to know that I've redefined what COVID stands for. And I actually came up with a second definition just this morning when Wade and I were chatting with Jimmy. COV, coppers vanished. ID, irons dysregulated. And what people don't know, because they haven't read the articles that we've talked about and that I've read and we've discussed, but all of the symptoms of that condition and 100% of the symptoms of the jab related to that condition are clinical signs of copper deficiency. Now that's a very it's actually a technical term. Copper deficiency implies a certain shortage of copper in the tissue. And by accident, a couple weeks ago, I very often will take a subject matter, a condition, and do a Google search, XYZ symptom, copper deficiency. And by accident, I put in copper depletion. And it opened up a whole new treasure trove of research that I didn't even know about. Mm-hmm. So there's a difference between deficiency and depletion. And what's important for people to know is that our genes work completely differently when there's no copper around. Mm. Again, the genes respond to energy. But the point is, this we've been taken hostage. We all know that. It's been 2 years of very unsettling times. But at the base of it, from my perspective, as of now I'm 11 years into the research, copper's vanished, iron's dysregulated. But there is a secondary issue that I learned by looking at the way it has a pamphlet about the Constitution of the United States. It's a very important book. I'm sure many of you have read it. If you haven't, I would encourage you to read it. But what does COVID stand for? Constitutions vanished, independence destroyed. Mm. And people need to know that that's really playing in the background. And if you really want to start to get some mastery of what's going on, I would really encourage everyone, I mean everyone, needs to sit with Dr. Ben's presentation from Saturday. I've done a lot of research. I was stunned by the depth of understanding that he brought to this. And I applaud you for what you did to make sure that people realize that there's an entirely different story here. There's much more to the story than we realize. And I think the challenge we've got is, and we've had this conversation, I have this all the time with clients and other practitioners, there are always two questions that people have, morally. If these minerals are that important, surely my doctor would know this. And they don't, because they're not taught about minerals, and we've talked about that. But the corollary question is, morally, if it's this simple, surely I would know this. And I think it's very important for the public to understand that the level of deception running this planet right now is at a fever pitch. Mm-hmm. And we're just waking up to it now. It's been building for a long time. There, you know, we've been boiling the frog 1 degree at a time, and it started really bubbling over in March of 2020. And you can't ignore that reality now. You can't unlearn what you now know, but it conjures up a lot of discomfort. Mm-hmm. And the natural reaction when people are under threat like that is to be fearful.
Yeah.
It's just a natural human reaction to threatening events or the perception of a threat. And I think it's going to be important in this conversation just to bring people back down to understand what's really going on. And I think what Dr. Ben has just shared with us, he's just sharing the headlines of his talk. But he's clearly pointing out that there's a lot more to this story. And this has been building for more than a century, but it's really been building intensely over the last 50 years, and that just happens to coincide with a certain employee at NIH that we all are just baffled by. Mm-hmm. And so the thing is that people need to know what the word fear stands for. There are a lot of different definitions of it, but my favorite is false evidence appearing real. And we don't realize the propaganda that was behind this whole, it's not a pandemic. It's a propaganda machine is what it was. Mm-hmm. And you had the media in on it, and you had the pharmaceuticals in on it. And I'm embarrassed to say, as a former hospital executive, the hospitals are in on it. There was massive amounts of money, and there still is massive amounts of money being paid to these institutions mm-hmm. to distort the truth. Well, I have a hard time with that. That really bothers me. And because there's a concentration of power there, the people don't realize how destructive that is. Mm-hmm. And so, again, there was a lot of evidence. And I was right there with everyone. March of 2020, we were all spooked. We all thought the end was near. We thought we were at the edge of the brink of destruction. by the summer, we began to suspect things were not quite what we thought they were. And now, and then a year later, we like, oh my gosh, we've, for those who are willing to take in new information are seeing it very differently. And one of my corner capstone phrases that I learned from a very dear friend of ours who's a preacher, he teaches a course in logic, and the capstone of the course is missing information equals missing truth. And there was a member of the audience at the expo, Mark Middleton, really appreciate his coming up to the booth, and he had a rejoinder to that. He said, when you gather new information, you can change your life. And that's really what these conversations are about. And I think what Dr. Ben is really imploring people to do is open up your field of vision and your willingness to hear more to the story, because we've gotten a very narrow bit of information. So, again, false evidence appearing real, and we're now beginning to realize that, that there is more to the story. But the, another way to describe the word fear is to spell it a little bit differently, and it's F-E hyphen A-R. Well, when you do it F-E, then you see the symbol for iron. Iron attracts rust. Well, we all know what a rusty nail looks like and a rusty pipe, and we didn't realize that that in the state of fear, our metabolism begins to produce rust. No one's ever told us that. And what's the element that prevents that? Because iron and oxygen don't play well together. They're the two most reactive elements on the planet. I mean, people need to know that. It's like they are wildly reactive with each other if they're not being regulated by copper. And that's why the title of the book is Cure Your Fatigue. And the word cure is spelled differently. It's C-U hyphen R-E. What is the C-U is the symbol for copper. What's the R-E? Raises energy. Copper raises energy. How? What did we talk about with Jimmy Fitzpatrick? We've got to be able to make energy in order to deal with the stress that we're under, because when we feel overwhelmed by stress, we get fearful. And what Dr. Ben alluded to a minute ago, I have a feeling he knows exactly what he said, but I'm going to take it down a notch. Because he used the phrase cellular fear. Fear at the cellular level is very important. And I'm just now really beginning to understand what this is all about. And when you get down to the cellular level, it's all about making energy. And how do we make energy? It's actually pretty simple. You've got to turn this toxin, oxygen, it's 21% of the air we breathe. When it hits the lungs, it's 19% of oxygen is in our lungs. That's really reactive. Well, you better have copper in there to neutralize it. But what is copper's gift? Copper activates oxygen so that it can turn into water to release the energy molecules. The energy molecules only get released when the pH is water. That's pH of 7. Yeah. And when you're making water, pH is perfect for releasing the energy molecules, and copper is the only element on planet Earth that can allow that to happen. Now, what we'll probably talk with everyone about at the break is what happens under fear chemically, because there's a dramatic change in the hormones that are getting released when there's chronic fear. Adrenaline and cortisol completely change, and we're going to explain why that's important and how to overcome it.
Yep. That's awesome, Morley. Thank you. So taking oxygen into water, that's called the electron transport chain. So we'll get into that, taking a deep dive into a little more science when we get back from the break. I totally forgot some announcements at the top of the show I was supposed to do. Three things out there. We're opening a Veritas Odessa February 1st. So we're excited to have Tabitha Pittman. She's a very experienced PA who has been a PA in Odessa for a number of years at an urgent care clinic, actually. And she's been trained in functional integrative medicine. She's shadowed at Veritas off and on for 2 or 3 years now. So we're excited to have her. She will be located at 4060 Faudry Road. That's right next to the Hot Works there in East Odessa. Next, I'll be speaking February 3rd in Amarillo. That is next Thursday night, I believe. Yeah, it's right around the corner, Thursday night. It'll be at 6:30 in Amarillo at his church on Arden Road, 6300 Arden Road at 6:30. We'll be talking COVID there. There'll be some other positions there, too. Lastly, February 26th, down in Midland, I'll be speaking at a pretty big event. Lots of different speakers there. Louis Gohmert will be there. I think Laura Logan will be there, some others. So stay tuned. I don't have the exact address for that. I think the folks putting it on, America First is the name of the event. You can follow America First at Texas Freedom Alliance. So check that out, Texas Freedom Alliance, down in Midland, February 26th. Big presentation there. Casey Gray, Captain Seth Keschel, Draza Smith, Louis Gohmert, Laura Logan, and yours truly. All right, y'all stick with us, and I want to remind you, VeritasMedical.com, archive shows, go back. There's a whole Morley section, and I don't know, there's probably 30 shows on there now. So nobody can claim ignorance. We have delved deeply into the science, and of course, Morley's website, rcp123.org, and just follow him on all his social media accounts, too. So y'all, thanks for being with us this morning. We will be right back to get into the cellular health and what fear does to it to disrupt our energy production. I'm Ben Edwards. You're the Cure. We'll be right back.
Welcome back into You're the Cure right here on AM 580 and 95.9 FM. You're the Cure with Dr. Ben Edwards, MD. Check out VeritasMedical.com for archive shows and other important information to help you regain control of your health. That's VeritasMedical.com.
All right, we're right back at it with Morley Robbins. So happy to have him live in studio. Real quick, just want to remind people, heart attacks used to not exist. The founder of Johns Hopkins Medical School, Sir William Osler, and the founder of modern medicine, never saw a heart attack in his career. The first heart attack reported in the American medical literature was in 1912 when there was one. If you want to learn more about this, go back in our archive page at VeritasMedical.com. Look up Dr. Chris Kenobi's interview I did with him a year or two ago. K-N-O-B-B-E, former Southwestern Medical School physician and professor. Cancer. You know, now heart disease is the number one killer. It went from zero heart attacks to there's 650,000 people will die from cancer, or excuse me, heart attacks. Cancer's right there with it. They're running neck and neck for first and second place with about 600,000 people dying of cancer. That's another modern disease. Cancer was not widely affecting humans until about 300 years ago when the first reports of cancer in the scientific literature came in the 1700s when doctors noted scrotal tumors in chimney sweeps and nasal cancer in snuff users. Lung cancer used to be so rare in the early 1900s, every single case was published in the medical literature. So those were very, very rare diseases from very specific toxins or deficiencies. So this avalanche of chronic disease in the 1900s and the 2000s is because we have not given the body what it needs and avoided what it doesn't need. Most of this starting with our nutrition. So in the early 1900s, they started processing cotton seeds into cottonseed oil and Crisco and telling you to stop eating your lard and your tallow and your saturated animal fats. They added iron to the milled grains. You can go listen to Sue Becker's two podcasts we've done with her, fascinating interviews where she talks about the diseases that came in just from the lack of nutrition because of the white flour. They took all the nutrition out of it. And the government did recognize that and told the millers, put it back in. And the miller said, no, we're getting a double profit here. We're selling the nutrition to the feedlot to feed the cows, and we're selling the white flour to the humans. And the humans are getting sick. So we've added iron. We've taken out nutrition. We've switched our fats around. It's all resulted in, at the cellular level, our carburetor getting gunked up.
That's right.
A West Texas term there. A lack of good fuel efficiency. Mm-hmm. Taking that oxygen and glucose or fat and moving it down the electron transport chain and producing water And if you can do this process efficiently, then your cell will work like it's supposed to work. And if you do it inefficiently, the cell will not work like it's supposed to work. And the byproducts of that gunked up carburetor, loss of energy, and a lot of exhaust, free radicals, electron stealers, and this affects your genes. Morley mentioned it. Genes are affected by energy. Genes are books on a bookshelf full of information. They can be turned on and off. And what turns them on and off are all these environmental influences and factors, including how clean and energetic is the water you made versus not. So let's talk about this transfer of electrons and the energy production in this mitochondria called the carburetor. There's hundreds and even thousands of these carburetors per cell, and they need to be efficient. They need tuned up.
No, that's exactly right. And so a couple key concepts. When we have stress in our world, and everybody's stress went up to very high levels a couple of years ago, but when we have stress in our world, we have oxidative stress in our body. It immediately, that perception that there's something wrong causes us to have an immediate drop in energy production. So it's a natural biological response to the threat. And if we're not making energy, and we're supposed to be making energy to respond to the stress, we've got to turn that oxygen into water to release the energy. Well, if we're not making water, we're making what's called oxidative stress. We're making oxidants, accidents with oxygen. And it's either going to be superoxide, or it's going to be hydrogen peroxide, or it's going to be the hydroxyl radical. And these are very reactive elements that naturally are produced in our mitochondria, but they're supposed to be regulated by copper. And when we're under stress, as Dr. Ben's saying, the carburetor's not working right.
Let me interject real quick, Morley, because this is a fascinating point here. We can make oxidants and actually need to in some circumstances because those oxidants, think bleach or peroxide, kill germs.
Yeah.
And so we need to be able to turn this thing on, fire out a few bullets, kill the germ, and then turn it off and get back into normal mode.
Right.
So there's a benefit too. But if you get stuck, and this is what we see with these COVID patients,
right.
i.e. copper deficient patients,
right.
is they get stuck in this pro-oxidant inflammatory cascade. A lot of people are familiar with the term now, cytokine storm.
Exactly.
And these people that end up super sick and in the hospital and in the ICU and in the morgue, they get down on this cascade of just overwhelming oxidative stress.
Yeah, and the two granddaddies of cytokines, we're not trying to turn this into a biochemistry class, but people need to know the two biggest cytokines in the body are interleukin-1 beta and interleukin-6. Oh, okay. Well, that sounds important. Interleukin-1 is trying to get iron back under regulation. Interleukin-6 is designed to make more of that ceruloplasm thingy that we talk about all the time, the blue protein. And again, people don't realize that the body is finely tuned to what's the state of oxygen in our tissue. And when oxygen can be activated and turned into water, life is good. We're in balance. But when we can't do that efficiently and smoothly, it's very threatening to the cells. And there's a very important article that was written in 2019 by Dr. Zamin Pira, Zaminpira. And the title is Fear Creates Hypoxia in Cells and Cancer in Humans. And it's a very provocative title. And what it talks about is that in a state of cellular fear, the cells are really smart. They know there's too much oxygen coming in. It's not being dealt with properly. And so the cells release hormones. And there's two that get released right away. And we're familiar with them. We talk about them all the time. Adrenaline and cortisol. Where are they coming
from? Fight or flight.
And where are they coming from? Remember we were talking about the adrenal glands? They're coming from the adrenal glands. That's where they're made. And the adrenal glands are sitting on top of the kidney, the adrenal, the on top of the kidney gland and renal gland. And one part of the adrenal gland, what's called the medulla, the middle of it, makes the adrenaline. And the cortex, the top of it, makes the cortisol. Well, what's important for people to understand is that what trips the wire? It's the perception of fear. What regulates our perception? Magnesium. Magnesium status in the body dictates whether we see things as being okay or not okay. And as soon as our magnesium levels go down, the world looks bigger and brighter than it really is. Our perception gets distorted, and we start dumping magnesium. That's why we call it the magnesium burn rate. And what keeps the master hormone to make cortisol in check? It's magnesium status. As soon as magnesium levels drop, this precursor hormone called ACTH starts to fire off. Cortisol, starts to get made, and then that's going to trip the adrenaline wire as well. Well, why is this a problem? Because it affects minerals. Adrenaline is it's basically a fuel injection system. It's you're facing the bear, fight or flight. You got to outrun the bear, and adrenaline now allows you to have a short burst of energy because it's forcing oxygen into the cell to make sure that as much energy can be made, and it does it with precision. But there's a downside. It affects a very important hormone called hepcidin. And why is that a problem? Because if hepcidin starts to rise, then iron can't be recycled in the cells. And that's exactly what adrenaline does, is it forces iron to get stored in the tissue, and long term that causes a drop in energy. What's the flip side? Cortisol. Oh, okay. We all know about cortisol. Oh, my AM cortisol's off, and my, you're just not in regulation. But what's cortisol's downside? Cortisol triggers the production of a very powerful protein called metallothionine. And in the presence of cortisol, the metallothionine production goes up fivefold. Well, that's a big jump. But here's the punchline. Metallothionine binds up copper 1,000 times greater than it binds up zinc. And what people don't know is that both fear and zinc will cause an increase in metallothionine production. And that's a sleight of hand that not a lot of people know about. But once metallothionine starts to be produced on a chronic basis by the liver, you're effectively shutting down the energy machines in the cells. The mitochondria can't process oxygen, and they are going to produce a lot more oxidative stress, which is going to trigger a lot more cytokines. And then you've lost the regulation. And what does the immune system run on? The immune system is amazingly simple. It's B cells and T cells and macrophages and very sophisticated cellular activity. But they all run on energy and intelligence. And what does it take to have intelligence? You got to have a lot of energy. Think about it. The brain, our brain represents 2% of our body weight, but it consumes 20% of the oxygen we breathe. So there's a tenfold differential in the amount of energy needed to support our thoughts and our insights. And if people don't understand that, then the whole thing becomes unraveled. But the term in that title that's so important is the word hypoxia. Now, Dr. Ben knows what that means. He learned it probably in one of the first classes in medical school. It means lack of oxygen, right? And we suddenly imagine we're all up at Mount Everest about to put the flag in, and that's hypoxia. Well, no, that's one form of hypoxia. There's something called functional hypoxia that I've only found it in one article, and I've probably read about 7,000, but I found one that confirmed my suspicion, and it's a term called functional hypoxia. And what does that mean? It means that the cell doesn't have the copper in the mitochondria to activate the oxygen, to turn it into water. It becomes oxidative stress, and it creates chaos and low energy. And when the immune system doesn't have access to energy, they can't think. They can't perceive, what is this threat? What is this spike protein that suddenly is in my body? I don't know what to do with it. They lose the perception of what it is, or draw on the library, the T cell, the memory T cells. They remember stuff. They have memory. They literally do have memory, and they know, I've never seen this before, or I have seen this before, and I know exactly what to do with it, but all that takes energy. And so what was the big breakthrough that I shared with Dr. Ben the other day at the expo, we talk about the importance of the minerals, and we talk about the importance of the nutrient-dense diet, and we talk about retinol. Retinol is real important. We find it in the grass-fed butter, the heavy cream. We find it in eggs. We find it in grass-fed beef liver, and we find it in the right kind of cod liver oil, the kind that Dr. Ben sells at Veritas Clinic. And so this retinol thing is pretty important. Turns out, do you have a set of drums? Do a little drum roll. It turns out that retinol is an electron carrier in the mitochondria. Retinol, real vitamin A, is one of the most important ingredients for our immune system. It is antiviral. I guess that's what the A is for, antiviral. And so we've been, again, deceived by the food system.
Because we're not supposed to eat eggs and beef liver and heavy whipping cream. We're supposed to eat low fat.
Exactly.
And since those recommendations came in, our health has plummeted.
But absolutely. No, it absolutely has plummeted. And to me, the true crime against humanity, and we're here with Jim Richards. He's sitting in.
Jim Stewart.
Forgive me. You're just a couple years older than we are, but not by much for me anyway. I know, but Jim is always talking about his parents and grandparents and how healthy they were because they ate real food. We don't know what real food is, and I remember one of the more entertaining conversations I had with my oldest daughter was about the topic of real food, and it got into kind of a fever pitch, and then she said, "Okay, Dad, what's the label look like on real food?" And I said, "Lizzie, thank you. I know how to resolve this." She says, "Okay, what is it?" I said, "There's no label on real food." Mm-hmm. She said, "Oh, now I get it." Mm-hmm. And there's a lot of people out there who don't know that real food doesn't have a label.
Yeah.
The real food comes from real farms, with real farmers who really care about what they're feeding the soil and what they're feeding the produce and what they're feeding the animals. And it's, you know, the book that I've written, Cure Your Fatigue, I think the sequel is going to be Cure Your Farm. Mm-hmm. And get down to, you know, regenerative farming is very popular now. But if the microbes in the soil don't have access to the minerals, well, they can't put it in the root system. And that's where it starts. That's the epicenter of good health is what's the quality of the soil, what's the quality of the life in the soil, and what's it doing to create vitality in the produce and the animals. But the most important part of it is making sure that to make energy, the two most important minerals are magnesium and copper, and they're both lost to stress. And it's important for people to realize that if we want to respond to the stress we have in our lives, and I think we all do, we've got to be able to make energy on demand. And in order to do that, we've got to have reserves of magnesium and copper. There are other minerals and other nutrients involved, but those are the two that are the most easily lost to stress. And so we just need to be mindful of that. And the mantra that Dr. Ben talks about in terms of the importance of the nutrition and the importance of the hydration and the importance of the peace and the importance of the movement, it's all of those are critical components of keeping the body in balance. But probably the two most important are the bookends. It's the nutrition and the peace. And it's very hard to be at peace when you're in a state of fear. and no one knows that better than Dr. Ben with the patient load that he's been dealing with for the last 2 years, especially.
Yeah, definitely. Well, like I said at the top of the show, you bring what I consider you're the Peter McCullough of the chronic disease stuff, because you've connected all these dots, so many of these dots on are real epidemics.
Right.
And guys, y'all can insert any quote-unquote disease you want, whether it's heart disease, right, cancer, autism, all the autoimmune diseases. There's 100 of them now. You name it. It's obesity and chronic fatigue, all of it. You can boil it all down to this same simple thing. Because remember, these are all new, all brand new over the past 100 years. When the food started changing and the stress has gone nothing but up, I think on purpose. And one of the sneaky little things that people don't talk about is this excess iron. So Morley was talking about dysregulation. I mean, there's this perfect balance, and the body can flip a switch to make all these oxidants to kill some germ, but then they flip it right back.
Mm-hmm.
And there's this beautiful orchestrated balance. And that balance, to maintain that balance, you need to give the body the basics, these basic things, these four pillars we talk about. And the more you get out of balance, meaning eat iron-fortified food, you just filled up all your iron stores. You have storage capacity for iron, like Morley said. You go into this cortisol and adrenaline kick in, and that you don't have anywhere to put the iron, so you store it a little bit. You know, the body has the capability to handle a little bit of stress for a moment, and it has these backup mechanisms and these places to store iron. But we have so screwed up our iron storage and our entire iron recycling system by 100 years almost of iron fortification of our food. It's a big deal. So donate blood regularly. That's one of the biggest health, I mean, it's almost a fifth pillar, I'd say.
Yeah.
If you get into a routine of just going down to the blood bank and donating for the, you know, they say to save a life, but it turns out it's your own life that you're saving.
Right.
But that's one way to get rid of excess iron. Of course, eat nutrient-dense food. Find a regenerative farmer. Most importantly, be at peace. I think the thing that sets your body out of balance and you lose your, it's like you drop your threshold of tolerance. We talk about it with seizure patients. There are things that'll drop someone's seizure threshold where they'll flip into seizures a lot easier. Yeah. So we want to build that threshold higher and higher. We want to build our resiliency. And so these little things you do, like donate blood, quit eating extra iron, eat real fat, not this processed seed oils. But the peace part of it is huge. And just recognizing that they're pushing this fear on purpose. It's propaganda to get you to comply. And we've got to just admit to that, see that for what it is. There was a lady in the audience at the expo. She had a mask on when she walked into my talk.
Mm-hmm.
And I noticed halfway through or so she took it off. And at the end she approached me with tears in her eye and just said, thank you very much.
Mm-hmm.
Everything you just laid out, I knew in my heart was true. But no one else was saying that.
Right.
So I bought the lie.
Well, we all did at one point.
Yeah. And that's not to condemn anyone, but it's to encourage you to seek that truth, which I always say, truth can't be proven with data. It has to be discerned by your spirit. Data's good. Eating from the tree of knowledge is good. Nibble from that because that helps deal with doubt and unbelief. But ultimately, it's that spirit in you that will resonate with the spirit of truth when you hear it. Morley, final words.
Real quick, I just want to connect the dots for folks as it relates to the immune system. There's two channels for the macrophages. Those are the Pac-Men of our immune system. They're the first line. They have what's called M1 and M2. M1 runs on glucose, M2 runs on fat. Well, in order to metabolize fat, you've got to have copper to run the enzymes to burn the fat. Very, very important. And what Jamie Collins at the University of Florida in Gainesville, he published a major study back in 2019 about how dietary iron, supplemental iron, kills copper metabolism in the human body. Well, then the other part that's important to understand is that in order to absorb copper in your diet, you've got to have fat in your diet. And in order to metabolize that fat, you've got to have copper at the cellular level. So it all ties together, and no one's ever laid it out that simply, that we need access to the right nutrients, especially the fats, especially the retinol. And in order to work with that retinol, we must have bioavailable copper to metabolize it, to empower the immune system, to give it the energy and the intelligence, because it knows exactly what to do in the face of pathogens.
Amen. Thank you, Morley. Appreciate you being with us. Your book, Cure Your Fatigue. Where's the best place to get that?
Well, you go to Veritas Medical. That would be one stop if you're local. And if you want to get it online, you can go to Amazon or Barnes or any of the major retailers. And then if you're really enterprising and you want a signed copy, you can go to the rcp123.org website, and you'll pay for it online, and then Dr. Liz and I will ship it out to you. It'll probably take us about 10 days, but we'll get it out there.
Well worth it.
Yeah.
Well worth the wait. All right, everybody, just real quick, Odessa, Veritas Odessa opens February 1. You can email info@veritasmedical.com to get an appointment there. We'll be doing IV therapies. We'll be doing nutritional counseling. We'll be doing chronic disease reversal. I'll be speaking next Thursday. That's February 3rd, 6:30 at Arden Road, 6300 Arden Road. That's at his church. And then February 26th down in Midland at Texas Freedom Alliance Conference, America First Conference down there. All right, guys, we'll be back next week with another great show. Wade, thank you for hosting. Melody and Debbie, thanks for all the hard work at the Expo this weekend. And appreciate everything you do to have an outlet for truth to be spoken. Y'all be back next week. I'm Ben Edwards. You're the Cure.